Have you ever walked past one of those massive, lucrative commercial properties, like a towering skyscraper or a luxury retail development, and just thought to yourself, I wish I could buy just 1% of that?
Oh, yeah. All the time. I mean, it's real estate, right? It is a notoriously exclusive club.
Exactly. It's locked behind these massive capital barriers. But, well, what if you could buy that 1% right from your smartphone while waiting in line for coffee?
Without a 30-day escrow and the mountains of paperwork.
Right, just a seamless instant transaction. Welcome to the Deep Dive. I am so thrilled you're joining us today because we are looking at something that is fundamentally rewiring how wealth is built.
Yeah, and this isn't a speculative fad. This is a massive structural shift in financial technology or fintech.
Spot on. And to unpack this, we're diving into an exclusive interview from Property Middle East. This fascinating conversation with Cameron Khalil, who is the CEO of a company called Osul Gamma.
It's a great source, really detailed.
It is. And our mission for this deep dive is to unpack how real estate tokenization, which sounds like a lot of buzzwords, I know, is no longer just theoretical blockchain jargon. It is a practical, regulated investment model currently transforming the Saudi Arabian property market.
And that's the key right there. It's applied technology. We're talking about taking the rock-solid stability of physical real estate and combining it with the frictionless efficiency of modern fintech.
So before we look at where this is happening, like in Saudi Arabia, we really need to establish what it is, the mechanics.
Right, the how.
Yeah. And when I first started looking into fractional ownership, the best way my brain could make sense of it was thinking about a bakery.
Okay, a bakery. I like that.
Right. So imagine you want some pie, but the current real estate market says, nope, you have to buy the entire bakery, the ovens, the building, everything, just to get a taste.
Which cost $50 million.
Exactly. But fractional ownership is like finally being able to just buy a single slice of the pie.
That is a perfect analogy. You're taking an asset that's just too large and too illiquid for a normal investor and dividing it into smaller, mathematically precise pieces.
But I do have a major question here because you hear about converting ownership into digital tokens on a blockchain, and I have to ask, wait, is this just another form of cryptocurrency?
I am so glad you asked that
Yeah.
because Cameron Khalil draws a very sharp, definitive line between the two in the interview. It is not crypto.
Okay, so how is it different? Because they both use blockchain, right?
They do, but cryptocurrency is generally a speculative digital asset. Its value is driven by market sentiment, internet culture, supply and demand of the coin itself.
Right, the meme coins and all that wild volatility.
Exactly. But real estate tokenization is fundamentally different because of what backs the token. It's backed by tangible, income-generating properties.
So the actual concrete and steel.
Yes. When you purchase a real estate token here, you're not buying speculative code. You are buying a legally verified fractional share of a real-world asset.
Oh.
And that asset generates actual rental yield. The digital token is really just the technological vessel holding your ownership rights.
Okay, that makes sense. But if it's just a vessel, why use a blockchain at all? Like, why couldn't they just use a standard centralized database? Traditional banks keep ledgers of who owns what every single day.
Well, traditional databases work, but they create immense friction, especially with real estate. Khalil points out that blockchain brings security through immutability.
Meaning it can't be tampered with.
Exactly. When a property deed is on a blockchain, the ledger is distributed and cryptographic. Think about traditional real estate. You spend weeks and thousands of dollars on title searches, right? Digging through old county databases.
Because human error or outright fraud in those old systems is a real risk.
Precisely. But with blockchain, the chain of ownership is entirely transparent and perfectly verifiable in real time. The title search effectively takes a millisecond.
That's incredible. And Khalil also talks about how efficiently managed and easier to transfer these assets become, right? He
Yeah.
specifically credits smart contracts.
Ooh, smart contracts are the secret sauce here.
Let's break that down for the listener. How does a smart contract actually replace, the traditional army of lawyers and escrow officers?
So a smart contract is basically a self-executing line of code. It triggers automatically when specific pre-agreed conditions are met.
Okay.
In a traditional sale, you wait for lawyers to verify funds, verify deeds, wait 30 days for checks to clear. With a smart contract, the logic is built in. It basically says if the buyer's wallet transfers the funds, instantly transfer the ownership token to the buyer and update the ledger. Yeah,
Instantaneous.
the moment the funds are verified on the network, the asset swaps hands, the friction drops to nearly zero.
I mean, it's wild. You're taking the heaviest, most stationary asset imaginable, a skyscraper, and making it as fluid as sending an email.
It really is a paradigm shift.
But this brings us to a really fascinating paradox in the source material. We get the technology, but Khalil points directly to Saudi Arabia as the prime launch pad for this. And I have to push back on this a bit.
Let's hear it.
If blockchain's whole reputation, right from the original Bitcoin white paper, is about being decentralized and totally outside the system, why does Khalil emphasize that government regulation is exactly what is making this work in Saudi Arabia? Isn't that a massive contradiction?
It sounds like one for sure. But you have to realize what the token represents. Pure decentralization works fine for Bitcoin because it only exists on the internet.
Right.
But a digital token that represents a physical office building cannot exist in a vacuum because that physical building sits on sovereign land.
Yeah. You can't download a skyscraper. It has to follow the physical laws and property rights of the country it's in.
Exactly. If the Saudi legal system doesn't recognize your token as a legally binding deed, then it's just code. It has zero legal weight.
So if the property manager stops paying your rent, you have no legal recourse.
Right. A judge needs a legal framework to recognize your token. So regulation isn't hindering the tech. Regulation is the secret ingredient here. It's the vital bridge connecting the digital token to the physical reality.
It protects investor rights and builds market confidence.
Exactly. And Khalil details four specific drivers in Saudi Arabia that are making this happen.
Let's run through those.
First, they have advanced regulatory frameworks. Second, there are massive government-backed innovation initiatives. Third, they are actively increasing foreign investment openness. And fourth, they just have incredibly strong real estate fundamentals.
And this all ties directly into their Vision 2030 initiative, doesn't it?
Yes, completely.
Yeah.
Blockchain is acting as a natural extension of Saudi's economic modernization strategy. They're designing legal structures, like special purpose vehicles.
Oh, SPVs, right?
Yeah, SPVs, from the ground up, to specifically handle digital assets. So a regulated entity holds the physical deed, and the shares of that entity are legally tokenized.
So the government is basically saying, we legally recognize the blockchain ledger as the definitive record of who owns this property.
Precisely. And this clears the runway for foreign investment, which Vision 2030 desperately needs.
Makes total sense. So the macro environment is perfectly primed. But let's pivot and look at Usul Gamma's specific strategy. Because having the tech and the government on board is one thing, but how is a company actually executing this for the everyday investor?
Their whole playbook is about lowering the drawbridge for small and mid-sized investors who were historically priced out.
Yeah, Khalil outlines a few specific features. He talks about curated real estate opportunities, flexible capital allocations, transparent reporting, and structured compliant models.
Right, and those aren't just corporate buzzwords.
Let's translate them. Curated opportunities means they aren't just letting anyone tokenize like a rundown strip mall, right?
Exactly. They're acting as gatekeepers, selecting premium, high-value properties that would normally only go to private equity firms.
And then there's flexible capital allocation.
Which just means you don't need a massive lump sum. You can deploy exactly the amount of capital that fits your strategy. If you want to put $5,000 across three different properties, you can do that.
Okay, but let me pause you there because I'm trying to visualize the day-to-day reality here. Say I buy a token. I own a fraction of a luxury apartment complex.
Okay.
My token is digital, flawless on the blockchain, but the building is physical. What happens when a massive pipe bursts on the fourth floor at 2 a.m? Does my digital token suddenly trigger a capital call demanding I pay for a plumber?
That is the big question.
Right.
And it's exactly where Usul Gamma's structured compliant models come into play. When you buy a token, you aren't becoming a traditional landlord.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, no 2 a.m. plumbing calls.
Yeah.
You are buying an economic interest in the net yield of the property.
The net yield. So after all the bills are paid.
Exactly. The property is still managed by professional property management firms. They handle the burst pipes, the tenant leases, all of it. A portion of the gross rent automatically goes into a maintenance reserve.
Okay.
And then the smart contract takes the remaining profit, the net yield, and transparently distributes it right into your digital wallet.
So the smart contract is just an infallible automated accountant. It logs everything immutably, gives me transparent reporting, and just drops my fractional profit into my account.
Without human intervention, it fundamentally redefines property ownership. We are talking about taking an inherently illiquid asset and making it liquid and inclusive.
And we really need to sit with that for a second, making the illiquid liquid, because real estate is usually the ultimate trapped capital.
Oh, absolutely. If you own a whole building and need cash fast, you can't just sell 10% of your lobby by Tuesday.
Right. You're stuck in months of negotiations and structural inspections and legal closings. But with a tokenized system, if regulations allow, I can list my fractional token on an exchange and sell it to another verified investor almost instantly.
It's untrapping the capital.
Which brings us to the ultimate conclusion of this deep dive. Zooming out from Usul Gamma in Saudi Arabia, what does this specific case study tell us about the future of global financial markets? Because Khalil makes a really bold claim. He calls this an inevitable progression.
Yeah, that's a strong phrase. He doesn't say it's a possibility. He says it is inevitable. And it's because of this structural shift happening at the intersection of property and fintech.
He mentions four macro benefits that make this inevitable. Let's unpack those.
Sure. The first one is what we just talked about, enhanced market liquidity. Capital isn't trapped for decades anymore.
Which leads right into the second benefit, capital efficiency.
Exactly. All those friction costs, the middleman, the escrow fees, the lawyers, the 30-day waits, that's all dead time and wasted money. Smart contracts eliminate that, so money is put to work faster.
And the third benefit is probably the most exciting for the listener, investor accessibility.
The democratization piece.
Yes. Wealth building through premium commercial real estate is finally dropping the velvet rope. It's available to a vastly broader base of people.
And when you combine those three, high liquidity, extreme capital efficiency, and inclusive accessibility, you arrive at the fourth macro benefit, sustainable economic growth. You create a far more dynamic economic engine. That is the bridge that brings the oldest form of wealth, physical land, into the modern digital financial system.
It is so fascinating. Well, we have covered a tremendous amount of ground today on a topic that is just completely reshaping finance. We started by cutting through the crypto jargon, right? Looking at the actual mechanics of how you turn a physical building into fractional digital tokens.
Like slicing the pie.
Exactly, the pie analogy. And we saw how Saudi Arabia's Vision 2030 regulatory environment is actively providing the legal framework to make those tokens legitimate and secure.
And then we saw how Usul Gamma is using that environment to actually democratize real estate investing, using smart contracts to handle all the complex management and distribute the net yield.
Yeah. The bottom line for you, the listener, is that the barriers to entry and wealth building are being digitally dismantled right now. Whether you're a small investor looking for access to high-value assets or just someone trying to understand the future of money, this is happening.
It is the inevitable progression.
It really is. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final lingering thought. We talked about how physical land and concrete buildings are becoming as liquid and effortlessly tradable as a digital token on your phone. But if that's true, what happens to our traditional emotional understanding of property ownership?
That's a deep question.
Right. I mean, for thousands of years, owning property meant standing on your land, maintaining it, inhabiting it. How does it change our fundamental relationship to the physical world when we can proudly own, trade, and profit from high-value real estate that we will never, ever actually step foot inside?
Something to think about.
Definitely. Give that some thought the next time you walk past a towering skyscraper. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, keep diving deep.